husband, father, Elmo impersonator?
Yeah!
He wrote the arm and is currently writing its follow-up, the leg. He has everyone's phone number, even yours. He's MLB insider Jeff Passan of ESPN, only on the program.
Fourth quarter of the program begins right now as we finish strong here on a Thursday. At least three of us in here doing strong. I don't know so much about what's going on the other side of the glass. We'll talk to Jeff Passan coming up here in a second, our Major League Baseball insider. I will let you know that he is brought to you by our friends at Twin Peaks, TwinPeaksRestaurant.com. That's where you can find him online. If you have not figured out where your fantasy draft is going to be, why wouldn't you do it at Twin Peaks? It is the best spot for your fantasy football draft party. If you like to get a little fired up, well, stay cool under pressure with 29-degree draft beers, made from scratch menu, great bites, great eats for the entire team, plus a $50 bonus card for the commission, an additional $5 bonus card for everyone who drafts.
Nice. Why wouldn't you do it there?
I don't know. If you want to get space reserve, visit TwinPeaksRestaurant.com/fantasy draft for more info. Take advantage of it. The best spot to watch football is also the best spot to draft your fantasy football team. It's right there at Twin Peaks. Find them online at TwinPeaksRestaurant.com. That's TwinPeaksRestaurant.com.
I think I know of at least one person who's probably going to be doing their fantasy draft there because it's my guy across the way that always lets me know when I walk in to Quick Trip. Oh, yeah, I got two auctions this week. Yeah, cool. Awesome.
That's where he's going?
I think so. But he's in at least four leagues. So at least one of them should be there. I'm going to recommend that to him.
Have you given him any tips?
No.
Then why does he keep asking you?
I think he knows what I do for a living and thinks it'd be, oh, cool. He's a sports guy. I'll tell him about my many auctions. You don't even have to know what someone does. The whole purpose when asking someone about their fantasy team or what their favorite something is what? So you can tell them what your favorite
one
is.
So,
have you ever told someone a fantasy football, fantasy baseball, whatever story and had them not respond, oh, yeah, well, last year when I was one of my teams. It's all about my team. So I think that's...
Somebody threw at me once the phrase, wow, it's amazing. Your fantasy football stories are just as boring as your bad beat poker hands, yes. You know? Like, everybody thinks, like, oh, and I'm sitting there, and I race, and I put the guys, I put them, and a guy gets a queen, and oh, yeah, he fills it, and no one cares. We're not following. We don't care. If we didn't lose money on the hand, if we didn't lose the fantasy game, we don't. There is never, oh, no, listen, I got a great fantasy story. No, you don't. No, this is a great one. This is a great one. I had a friend who's like, I know you say there are no, but this is really a great one. I go, it's not. It's not a great one. There's no such thing as a great one. Nobody cares. It's the most selfish thing in the world. We care about our team and our team only. So don't go trying to sell me on the fact that, this is a great story. It's not.
It is one step above, for some people, present company excluded, it is one step above showing pictures of your kids to people. Most people, I'm great, showing pictures of your kids, but that's pictures of the kids is another thing. You can say, oh, have you seen this picture of little Timmy and Willie? Oh, yeah, that's great. And there's another one when they were at camp last week. Yeah, I don't care. I know people who are like that. You get about two, Rika Shake said, yes, I've seen it before. And yeah, that's the whole Carlin bit. Yeah, that's why they're your kids.
Yeah. Not getting it.
Not getting it.
Not getting it. That's the issue that's there. So, all right. We will see. We're going to talk some baseball with Jeff Passan. He's going to have a fight. We're late getting him on and catch up. Adam's got to catch up with Jeff before we go to him.
Oh, we get him? Hey.
No, we got him, yeah. Now that.
Are
you done?
You know what he's giving him?
You guys all caught up?
You know what's happening right there? Poker bad beats. Poker, bad beats, fantasy baseball, and pictures of kids.
Yeah. I said, y'all done? Y'all caught up? And he just sat there looking at me, and slowly this occurred.
Saran, honestly?
That's hard to pull off.
Yeah. The middle finger emerged from below deck, Jeff, like a rocket, you know, from far away, rising above. I just got the middle finger like a rocket taking off, you know, like I'm 40 miles from Cape Canaveral.
Hold on. Is he trying to blame this on me?
Yeah, he said you're having phone issues.
I don't have any phone issues at all.
By the way, a lot of us are getting the old number ones right now. I assume you're getting it from him because he's pointing it at the phone.
Yes.
So I think he means for you to get the old number one on that one, Jeff.
No, I have no idea what's going on with my phone right now, honestly. I have one bar. It's LTE.
Yeah. Well, at least you're not in an industry where your phone is important.
Yeah.
Clean it up, Verizon. Come on.
Yeah, like I said, I don't think you heard that line. At least you're in an industry that the phone is not that important to what you do.
No, I heard it. I just didn't laugh. That's
yeah. Oh, okay, my bad. Let me. Maybe if I say it a third time, it'll land better.
Or louder.
Let's dive right in with this gem. This is from a Baseball America podcast with J.J. Cooper and Kyle Glazer. Baseball America releasing their midseason organizational power rankings today, and the Royals were 30th, dead last. Now, we're going to talk about there's some obvious reasons for it. You know, you can say, like, hey, they just graduated a lot of guys up.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see where they would come down the rankings a little bit. But, you know, when you hear the reasons here, they're going beyond that. Here's Glazer talking about why the Royals are 30th.
When you look at, okay, who are the guys that are still in the system that have not graduated? It is really bad. You know, I've traveled coast to coast, seen a lot of teams this year, all different levels. Columbia is far and away the worst minor league team I've seen this year, both in terms of just baseball ability and, you know, talent, projectable talent. It's really, really bad. And one of the themes of the Royals that we see right now with the guys that are currently left in their system, it's a lot of guys who are names in terms of they were high draft picks or they were acquired in trades that were somewhat prominent or they got big bonuses in the international market. And their names, but their actual ability is just not what you'd expect. And it's just not very good. I mentioned, you know, Columbia was the worst team I've seen all year, coast to coast. And just having conversations with evaluators, that has come up a lot as well. One of them went so far as to say the Royals have over $15 million wasted on that Columbia team, which was a harsh assessment, but an assessment nonetheless.
That's harsh. Right?
That's the harsh assessment.
Yeah. Is it fair?
I think it's... let's put it this way. When I'm looking at a low-A team, I'm never going to call anyone a waste. Because I've seen too many guys who were in low-A and eventually figure it out. And the problem here, and listen, Kyle covers the minor league, covers everything. I very much respect him, and I respect the people who he talks with. But he's not getting a long look at them, and to, I don't know, the call it the worst team in the minor leagues. That seems like a little bit of a stretch.
Somebody has to be.
Yeah, I agree, but yeah, that's my exact, like, somebody is
120,
right. If you're gonna do a ranking. So you can't be like, okay, here's the top 20, and then there's these 10.
Yeah.
If you're going to rank them all, you got to rank them all. I mean, I'm with you. I don't know how you could possibly get your arms around how the talent level of an entire baseball organization, let alone 30 of them. Yeah. Right? So I think you make a very fair point. Like, I think some
part of his opinion was from other people he had talked to as well.
So I mean, he's like you said, like Jeff said, you know, we respect the work he's done.
I know record doesn't matter. Columbia's won 6 games in a row, and they're 24-19 in the second half this year. They have a plus 11 run differential. Like
in the first half, they were like 13-34, though.
Right, but that means that they went out and drafted guys, and you know, have added them. Like you know, maybe he saw them in the first half.
I mean,
yeah, they're bad. They're bad in the first half.
I'd like to focus on the $15 million wasted. Like, where that's the part that's scarier to me. You know, if I assume they're pointing at all three of the pitchers from the 21 draft class in Panzini, because Kaderna and Mazzucato are $6 million collectively. Yeah. Panzini's probably $1.5 million or something. They're $7.5 million. I'm not even sure where the other money is that they're where they're getting at that. I don't think they'd be talking about Gavin Cross and Caden Wallace already, who were just drafted in this year's draft class. There's probably a high dollar. In fact, one of their they have a guy they spent a bunch of money. Eric Pena, they spent a bunch of money on him.
Yeah.
And
yeah, his Eric slash, Pena,
that'd be 149, 258, 288. I mean, so
he's been terrible.
Yeah, he's been terrible. And
that's what happens when you sign 16-year-olds, by the way. They're quite often terrible.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And by the way, I have not heard – I've heard good stuff on Ben Kuderna. Mazzucato, hit and miss.
Right.
It's not $15 million down the toilet.
Well, and listen, I'm not qualified to – yeah, I haven't seen these guys throw a pitch, right? And if I had, that wouldn't qualify me anymore because I still don't really know what I'm looking at.
Let me jump in here.
But I do know numbers. Well, let me finish the sentence real quick.
Sure.
I do know numbers, and I get it. Kuderna has the 286 ERA, so people like that more. But 44 Ks and 50 innings, that doesn't excite me at all. That says a guy's pitching like Brian Bannister already.
I wouldn't say 44 Ks and 50 innings is Brian Bannister, but it's the stuff that people like with Kuderna. No one cares about ERA down in A ball. Like, that really, honestly, that doesn't
I get
matter.
It, and that makes me feel good that they like his stuff. But stuff usually equals strikeouts at the lower levels.
That depends. I mean, it depends what kind of stuff you have. If you're getting ground balls at a high rate, then, you know, if your fastball's heavier and has some sink to it, probably not going to be getting as many strikeouts. I mean, the ideal pitcher in all of baseball is a guy like Sandy Alcantara who can get strikeouts and, you know, get 50 to 60% ground balls. A guy like Logan Webb who can do that. Those are very rare guys. But I want to focus first on the important part of this. And I'm curious. This is not a criticism at all. If Baseball America had them 27th, 28th, or 29th and not 30th, would we be talking about this?
We might. But no, it wouldn't be the sensation that it is. There's no doubt.
And it's the same principle, Seren, in that there has to be a worst team, right? I think the issue is not that the Royals are 30th, it's that the Royals aren't top 15 in the top half, for example. And you can understand that because of the graduations. But what we need to really focus on here and what the Royals need to understand going forward is that even when you do graduate, guys, the best teams have another group coming up after that ready. That is what the Dodgers do.
Right.
That is what the Rays do. That is what all of the most successful teams in baseball do. They have a core group that comes up, and then when they start winning with it, they still draft and sign and develop well, even though they don't have those high picks anymore. And by the way, missing on high picks is disastrous. And right now, the Royals have missed on Asa Lacy. Like, I think we're probably at that point now. He's, you know, 23 years old. He's, I don't even know where he is. Is he at Double A still?
He's at Double A sometimes when they bother to run him out there.
Yeah. I mean, he's. I hope Asa Lacy can figure it out, but at this point, I don't think anyone is anticipating that being the case.
Is it a bad thing when you have to go to page 2 of the Northwest Arkansas pitching stats on MILB to find the guy? Would you consider that a negative?
That's not a good thing. But let's also remember Mackenzie Gore couldn't throw a strike for a good year and a half and was getting buried at the Padres complex as they tried to figure out how, you know, what to do with him. And
yeah,
a year later, he was a good enough big league starter to get included in a deal for Juan Soto.
I think your point's great. And that's what I wanted to ask you. I didn't want to accuse the Royals, but I want to say, like, you know, how, where should they be? Like, where would you, like, I don't know that it's, can a small market team, and I guess this isn't about small market because everything's capped when it comes to your spending down there. So, I mean, where should they be after these kind of graduations, right, in a building? Should it be that, you know, we had some folks reaching out, you know, on Twitter, and they're like, you know, okay, I get it that, you know, a lot of their best guys are up at the big club, but should you be dead last? Like, no, nobody should ever be dead last. 15? No. Like, that's probably where they ought to be right now, right? 15? Yeah. Yeah. If you felt like it was going full bore?
I mean, I think that's reasonable. You know, if you look at the Cardinals, they've graduated Nolan Gorman. They're going to graduate Matt Liberatore. They're graduating Brendan Donovan. They're seventh. You know, you look at other organizations like the Rays, who they've graduated in recent years, guy after guy after guy after guy. They're still 12th, and frankly, I think they probably should be higher than that. Graduations, no doubt, knock you down. They should not knock you down to 30th, though. You should have enough depth in your organization to weather that. And by the way, they shouldn't knock you down to 27th or to 25th or to even 23rd. Like, at very least, if you are going to be an organization that doesn't have a high payroll, and I think all of us who live in Kansas City sort of come to terms with the idea that that's what the Royals are. They are going to be a draft, sign, develop, and pray organization, because the notion that they're going to be in the $200-plus million payroll range just is not realistic. So they have to do that. And if you're doing that when you graduate, guys, and by the way, they've graduated some very good baseball players. Bobby Witt's really good. MJ Melendez is really good. I'm fully on the Pasquantino bandwagon at this point. I'm all in on Vinny Pasquantino. I think Nick Prado has a chance to be a good, solid ball player. I think Michael Massey, like the swing. Like, you know, he's got some, like, they have some guys who have come through. But even when you have a class like that, which is a once probably every 10 to 12 years class, like, you hope you get a class like this once every 10 to 12 years, you can't drop all the way to the bottom. That's just unsustainable.
Can we just enjoy a couple of line scores from outings?
Please.
Asa Lacy, August 12th, last time out. A third, no hits, one run, one earned, two walks, one strikeout, two hit batters. Two. He's hit 13 batters in 27 innings this year.
Creepy.
No, that's, you know what?
Okay, hang on. Let's enjoy another one.
No. I just want to say this, because I don't ever want to laugh or make fun of someone who's having trouble throwing the ball over the plate. It is the most paralyzing feeling in the world, and I feel horrendous for anybody who is afflicted, and I believe it is the closest thing to a sporting affliction there is, afflicted with that. So I will not join the Lester party here. But
well,
next line.
He can wipe his tears with his $100 bills. I mean, $7-8 million.
Laugh it up
when I go out there after you give me $8 million. You can have a laugh fest. I get what you're saying. Listen, I have compassion for the guy, but it's professional sports, and he took the check, and this is what comes with it. I mean, he's happy to go coach baseball in high school if he doesn't want to hear anything. I mean, that's where it is. But I'm sorry, and it's not all at him. Somewhat of it is towards the organization, because here's the last time out last night for Frank Mazzucato. Four innings, no hits, one run. Four walks. I mean, like, there's this, you know, and you're right, it's scary. Asa Lacy, I mentioned, what's his name, the Cardinal Brave, came through here as an outfielder, was a pitcher.
Rick Ankiel.
I mean, that's where that conversation's being had right now. I don't know that the Royals want to talk about it because they don't want to jinx it, but it is everywhere else. And you know, when you so that's where I think this criticism that's there, like, it may be that podcast, you and I talking about this, talking about the line score, my hope is that it brings about change. I mean, we're now more than halfway through August.
Let me tell you something. If the Royals organization changes because of something that Kyle Glazer, Seren Petro, and Jeff Passan say, everyone should be fired. That's not why you change.
Listen, and I'm not saying they change because of us. They need to change because of the results. But, like, I think that if it's not discussed, then, you know, it's like, oh, no, everything's good. We're coming back with everybody.
Of course it's being discussed. I mean, oh, are you talking about getting rid of people, or are you talking about
I'm saying that if they do not make changes to who is either picking their players on the pitching side or who is developing their players on the pitching side, then that's – I don't know how you could do – I do not know how you could sit in front of John Sherman and say we're not changing anybody on the pitching side. I don't know how you can do that. And I think John Sherman might have listened to that until John Sherman drives around town and he hears two guys from Baseball America say it's the worst system. Here's you and I talk about the line score. I mean, like, I think it's different having an owner who lives in town and owners that live in town. And yeah. I think when, you know, I think there's a lot of positives going on, but I think even that, you know, and I commend what they've done with the hitting. But, you know, I asked you last time, like, what do they need to go get? And you said a pitcher. I still don't think they have enough hitting either, right? Like, I still think they need a thump bat to put down in the middle of that lineup. And I think when you see the Twins just playing with them like they're food on the plate, you know, I think it shows that there's still a ways to go with the lineup too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no doubt there's a ways to go with the lineup. Like, this lineup that they have right now by itself is not going to go out and win division. But the more acute need is pitching. Let me say this. I don't look at Frank Mazzucato as a problem right now. Do you?
I him in and of himself, no. When Asa Lacy's doing what he's doing, yes.
Yeah. Now see, I look at it. They're completely different guys. Mazzucato was always going to be someone who's timetable was a little longer. Came from a cold weather state in Connecticut, really jumped onto the scene.
Jeff, I get it. We can play this game with any one individual, and baseball is hard. And guys don't, yeah, like you said, they're 16-year-olds that aren't good. They're also 16-year-olds that are good. There are 20-year-olds yeah, that are good and not. I get it. Each and any one case, yes. I give you the entire double A ERA. I yep, give you their entire pitching minor leagues, and I rest my case, and the jury's back in 5 minutes, Jeff. I mean, I appreciate you trying to fight the good fight, but come on.
This isn't me trying to fight the good fight. It's just me trying to be fair in the assessment here. I can't look at a line score and draw a judgment out of it. The judgment that I'm taking away comes from the progress at the big league level, right? How have pitchers been developed and how have pitchers performed? And
how
it
have
hasn't
they?
Been not well enough. Okay. Absolutely. Like, that's the evidence there speaks for itself.
And
but,
then it doesn't Frank Mazzucato it seem like it's just more of the same?
No, I think it's way too early. I think Asa Lacy you can start making judgments on. He was the number 4 overall pick in the draft. You gave him that huge bonus that you were talking about. He's at double A, can't throw strikes. That, you know, when you bust on stuff like that, that is something that if your organization is going to go out and take the tack that the Royals do, take the approach that they do, that's the kind of thing that crushes you. You cannot miss top 5 picks.
But number 7, it's okay to just completely swing and miss.
No, I'm not saying, Seren, you're talking about a cold weather high schooler less than a year into his career. I just don't make judgments on guys that early as opposed to a college player who was taken top 5 a couple years ago.
When should Mazzucato look like he can actually get a big leaguer out?
I think he looks like he can get a big leaguer out right now. The problem is, too much of the time, he looks like he can't get the ball over the plate.
When should he look like – put whatever label you want on it, Jeff. Now you're just jousting. When is it okay to evaluate Frank Mazzucato?
I think Mazzucato in the first 2 months of 2024, you're going to have a much better idea who he is.
And at that point, if we're seeing the same thing, then it's okay for me to read a line score?
I think then at that point – by the way, you read a line score where the guy gave up no hits over 4 innings as if it were supposed to be some kind of indictment. That's a good thing, right?
Is the 4 walks in 4 innings a good thing? I mean, like, if you saw, like, if he were doing that at AAA, do you think they'd be like, we got to get him up here?
Yes, actually. If you're throwing 4 hitless innings, striking out 6, giving up 1 run, I'll take those 4 walks.
With 4 walks?
Absolutely.
You will?
Yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
Well, show me the guy they've done that with in the big leagues. What? Show me the guy that's come up that they've elevated that guy.
Yeah. Listen, so guys like that, they're tough. But I look as much at the strikeouts as I do the walks, and the strikeouts is for someone who was saying earlier with Kuderna that you're concerned with strikeouts. Mazzucato's got the strike.
Yeah, and earlier in the show I said I'm actually still more bullish on Mazzucato because he has the strikeouts. So yes, 100%. I am more bullish, but I also think when you draft a guy seven, and then you don't do what everybody else does, and that's like put him in the minors and you hide him on backfields for 11 months, and I think he ought to come out like, oh, this should be like we got a better way of doing it. Like, where would we be if for 11 months instead of, you know, I always think, you know, pitching on some backfield where nobody can see him, had he been actually in the minor leagues and doing what other teams were doing with their picks that were taken around the same time?
Yeah, generally speaking, you know, top 10 picks don't get sent out to extended. No question about that. Now, the argument that the Royals would make is that we took Mazzucato top 10 because it allowed us to get Kuderna later. And so we feel like both of those guys are better than the one that we would have gotten with the seventh pick and then another. And that's just, you know, the time's going to tell whether that's true or not.
I'm sorry, Jeff.
Neither has broken out in the way that you hope one or both of them will at this point. And that's what you're looking for, and I get it completely. You know, there's a kid named Jackson Churio in the Brewers organization. He was a kid out of Latin America, signed for, I think it was $1.5 million. I mean, like, good signing bonus, but not the tippy top of his class, and did well at the Complex League last year, and the Brewers pushed him to low A this year. He was the youngest player there, crushed, is crushing now at high A, where he's the youngest player by a long shot, and he's now a top five prospect in all of baseball. And one of these times, the hope is that the Royals get one of those guys, right? Like, that's what you're looking for. You're looking for a sign that beyond just the drafting, that internationally they can do better too. You just want there to be that guy who suddenly pops out of nowhere and turns into someone who's going to be put. I don't blame you. I don't blame fans for wanting that.
Listen,
that's the sort of thing you need.
Yeah, and I do want to get to the positive, but the Rangers just fired the general manager that took them to two World Series. And eventually they're like, we're done waiting. Right? Yep. Like, so, you know, that's what I'm talking about here. I get it. And the reason why we have these discussions is because there is nobody in 16 years that fits that bill.
That has the
guy that came from off the radar screen to be a stud.
Yeah.
I mean, there's really, you know, Singer is now the third pitcher that they've developed. You'd say, okay, legitimate starting pitcher. Now, we'll never know what Yordano Ventura was going to be, right?
Yep.
But he's one, and then Danny Duffy's the other. And collectively, over 16 years, those three are not enough to win a championship.
Granke?
They didn't develop Granke. He was in the big leagues before they got the job.
Oh, you're talking Dayton. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
I want to get to the positive. Michael Harris with the Braves. An 8-year, 4-6-8? Yeah, 8-year, $72 million deal. It's got a 9th and 10th year option of $15 and $20 million that can make it a 10-year deal. He's in his first year. They're putting that deal together. Do we need to see that deal, something like that, done for Bobby Witt Jr. and Vinny Pascantino?
And MJ Melendez, yes. Yes. They should.
Will they?
But, I mean, the argument that you can make against it is that we have them for 3 more years in the case of Pascantino and Melendez, and 2 more years in Witt's case at bargain basement prices. And why would we go and pay them now if we're going to have them? I mean, I think it's a specious argument, and I think that they should do everything they can to get every one of these guys locked up as quickly as possible and understand that there's going to be breakage. You know, you're going to have Scott Kingery's, and you're going to have Evan White, and you're going to have guys who sign these extremely early deals and just bust out like that. They stink. They're not big leaguers. And that's the price of doing business. The money that you save signing these guys to extensions as early as possible. We've seen this, Seren, for almost 30 years now. I remember as a kid growing up in Cleveland, John Hart was doing this with
Carlos Baerga.
He lost Carlos Baerga and Jim Thome, and like Manny, he was trying to get every one of them signed to a long-term contract as early as possible. And if the Kansas City Royals believe in a guy, they should be going and locking him up. I think it's as simple as that. Do what you can to keep the core together, because if this is going to be the championship core that you've been promising or that you've been saying it is, then literally put the money where the mouth is.
Well, and I think the signing all three of them is where it's like, okay, if we get two of the three right, we're the better for it.
Yeah, for sure.
And
maybe you get all three.
Well, and you're paid to get all three right, but if you get two out of three and one of them's a real superstar, and I think you could make a case Bobby Witt's pedigree and his athleticism is there, Pascantino's strike zone judgment, you can make a case that either one of these guys could be a superstar. So if you got a superstar and a really good player and then one guy tanked, nobody's complaining at the end of those deals.
Not at all.
Yeah. All right, let's get to our final four with Jeff Passan. It's brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System. Did you know the same experts that care for the Royals? They can see you and see you quickly. The University of Kansas Health System offers orthopedic walk-in care at 435 and all in Overland Park. If you have a sprain, strain, or fracture, you're 5 years of age or older, they're open 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday. Get more details at kansashealthsystem.com/sportsmedicine. I'll start you with this. What were our Syracuse Orange football record be this year?
I genuinely have no idea who the coach even is. Is it still Dino Babers?
It is. It is Dino Babers. Where's your faith? Okay. Come on now. What do you got?
Big fan.
How many games are they playing?
They're going to play 12. Unless they get to a bowl game, it'd be 13.
Well, the fact that you suggested they might get to a bowl game makes me want to say 6-6.
Okay. That's actually not bad. That's probably about where it figures to be. Do you watch the Little League World Series?
I will watch it if I'm scrolling through the TV and nothing else is on.
Wow. What a.
Listen, Abita, you want to know how much 14U baseball I watched this summer, Seren?
Probably
like,
a lot.
I have watched so much kids baseball this year that I have great amounts of respect for these children who are trying to go out and win a championship, but I don't know. I like watching my kid, and I like watching professional.
Okay. Hi, I'm Jeff Passan. When I have nothing else to watch, I'll watch the Little League World Series.
If I fall asleep and the TV's still on, sometimes I awake and there it is.
If you've got nothing better to do.
Yeah, ringing endorsement.
At least it's not on the network he works for.
Oh, wait. No, it actually is. My bad. Did you watch the Better Call Saul finale?
I did, yes.
And what'd you think?
Phenomenal. Everything they do is phenomenal.
Okay.
Like, Vince Gilligan is the guy who figured out how to land finales of great shows. Like, there are so many questions about finales of great shows. Breaking Bad's finale was phenomenal, and Better Call Saul's was phenomenal, too.
They were off a little bit on this one. You're giving it a little too much hype. Finally, how's the... What's that?
I'm just discerning.
Yeah, okay.
That's all.
Okay. How is your work on The Leg coming along? Where are we in getting that thing in print?
Boy, it's been a long, long process, but... are we ever going to change that in the intro, by the way?
No, I kind of like it. I kind of like it. No. We might add to it.
Yeah.
We might put some other things around it, but that part,
you know. Do I actually have to go and write a book called The Leg in order for you to get rid of that?
Yes. If you would write The Leg, then we're done. Then we might have you
on. I change it to the back.
The back or the head, you know.
The chest.
The tummy.
You guys are full of clever jokes.
Yeah.
Well,
we're
not really.
We're not the one that came up with the incredibly original title, The Arm.
Yes, you're also not the one who wrote the New York Times bestseller, The Arm. So there you go.
You win.
You're the man, Jeff. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
See you, boys. Take care.
All right. Jeff Passan from ESPN. We will take a break. We'll get you the things you need to know.
Impress your friends. Amaze your coworkers. Make your family proud. Here's what you need to know.
I'm going to tell you what you need to know. Need to know, brought to you by Jungle Law. Experiencing a rumble in the legal jungle? Call the lawman at Jungle Law. If you have a criminal charge pending, call him right away. Jungle Law also handles employment-related issues. Even against corporations, call Jungle Law for a free consultation. 833-4JUNGLE. That's 833-4JUNGLE. Find him online at junglelaw.com. Our thanks to Jeff Passan for joining us there in our last segment. A little Royals baseball tonight. Royals at Rays, getting ready to go. 6:10 first pitch. Max Castillo has been recalled from Omaha and will get the start for the Royals. He came over in the
Whit Merrifield
deal. So he will get the call.
I'm very intrigued by him.
Are you?
For first-year player. Nice numbers. Kind of struggled in his debut, but both as a reliever and a starter. I think his ERA after his first appearance was in the mid high twos, maybe low threes. I was pretty pleased to get him back for Merrifield. So we'll see what he can do as in his first start for KC.
All right. Royals are plus 158, Rays minus 188. You'd have to bet $188 on the Rays to win 100. Royals, if you bet 100, you get 158 if they won. Royals reinstated Hunter Dozier from the paternity list. Infielder Michael Garcia has been optioned back to Omaha, and right-hander Joel Piamps has been DFA'd. Seen enough of that.
Yep.
We got to go. Can't be talking about that kind of performance anymore. I hear a little bit from Andy Reid. Training camp done in St. Joe. Reid asked if they got everything done that they wanted to in camp.
Yeah, yes, I did. Well, we did. I think I challenged the guys with some, you know, which I think was important. That bonding becomes important, and you bond when you've got to do something tough. And they answered the bell, and every day. So I appreciate the effort that went into it, and I know some of them were hurting, but they got up and they pushed through, and that foundation will pay off for them down the road here.
Well, we hope so. Says he got done what they wanted.
And again, you're probably never going to hear a coach say, "No, we're like five things we didn't get done." But oftentimes, in a response like that, you can kind of tell what happened based on how much they volunteer. If they go in more in depth on something and they don't normally in another, that's kind of
where there's any chance Andy Reid was not going to get something done. I mean, no. He knows exactly how much time he has and exactly how much he can get
done. Everyone says.
Offense and defense, competition-wise, Reid asked about it. How did it look, offense versus defense in practice?
Yeah, I thought it was great competition. Really, you break it down by play. So they challenge each other. And again, that's all you can ask for as a coach. So, I thought it was great for the young guys to see that and feel that you have to come out here every day in the right mindset and you have to challenge every play. And then if you get beat, you got to learn from it and then erase it and get on to the next play. And if you let it linger, then you got a problem. Then you're going to back to back these things. And that's, you can't do that at this level.
That seems to have been a theme of this camp, more so than I recall, and that was the fact that the...
Your mic's on, Kay, by
that's way. True. I can't get what the pattern is, either. We've decided we're just going to leave the mics up during the cut, which is fine.
Shorter clips, I would assume the mics are still... Might be safe just to think, I bet my mic's on. This clip's only about 30 seconds.
So is 33, which is the length of that one. Where's the dividing point?
For
115, is it on or off?
We'll establish that at a later time.
So we may want to work on that beforehand, but that's okay. I don't generally say things in the studio that would not want to be heard over the air while a cut
was
playing.
Well, I'm concerned.
But more so than any year I can remember recently has been that offense versus defense, and the operative word seemingly now in camp is juice, but there was a lot of juice between the offense and defense when they're on the field this year, which I think is probably a good thing.
All right, we'll take a break, come back, wrap things up with the kicker. You're listening to the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. The kicker brought to you by our friends at the University of Kansas Health System walk-in clinic. It's open right now. How do I know?
because 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. at 435 and all. You can walk right in. Orthopedic care, you can get it right there, 435 and all. If you get a sprain, strain, fracture, walk right in. The same folks that care for the Royals and Chiefs can care for you. Find out more at kansashealthsystem.com/sportsmedicine.
We're almost done for the day, but there's just a few more things we'd like to share.
But there's still more.
Here's the kicker.
Here's the kicker of this whole thing.
On the program.
But first, the good sense. End of the hour answer. National Football League. Yeah. Highest drafted player out of the University of Memphis in 40 years.
Dontari Poe.
You got that almost before I finished the question earlier.
I would have assumed he was the highest drafted ever, but no, not the case.
Yeah, they drafted Keith Simpson, defensive back, in 1978, was drafted by the Seattle Seahawks. But Dontari Poe, number 11 to the Chiefs in 2012, the two-time Pro Bowler for the Chiefs, is 32 today.
Playing for some Good Sense, goodsensesubs.com. Had a wonderful Good Sense yesterday, the roast chicken. I love it. It's my favorite. Go get it. You can order it at goodsensesubs.com. Get 10% back, too, with being part of that loyalty club. I don't know what you're waiting on. If you haven't signed up for that, that's ridiculous. Get your sub tonight. goodsensesubs.com, locally owned and operated, founded in Lenexa, Kansas. It's the end of intern season, Curtis.
It is.
The final one. Is leaving us. Final day for intern Rico. And you arrived a boy, you leave a man. I mean, is that how you would describe your time here?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly how it went.
That's why you got a big future. You'll say, you know, sure. Yeah, that's it. You know exactly what you want to do. When you came in, one of the first things you told us, not sure what I want to do. That's all figured out now, right?
Well, I actually changed my major like earlier today, so... I'm not really.
Was it because of your experience here?
No,
it was,
oh. No.
No, God, no. We had no impact whatsoever.
I was going to say.
No. I needed something less or more broad instead of something less more specific.
What was it?
It was sports communications.
And what is it now?
Just biology.
Communications and media.
Just communications and media. So we did not scare you out of the media world.
No.
You're still thinking that might be the route.
Yeah, something like that.
Are you considering a haircut at any point?
Yeah, I have one on Saturday.
No, God, no. Savor it.
It's quite a mane of hair when you see these two boobs right here. Like,
my mom hates it.
Really?
Yeah.
Ah, your mom's a sweetheart. I bet your mom, you know, I would not disappoint her. Go get your hair cut then.
Well, yeah. We'll see what I come back with and if she likes it.
You are no longer Rico. We return you to your given name.
Perfect. What the hell was it? Robbie?
I think it's Bobby.
I called him Robbie so many times. So Robbie Hummel. No. Bobby Hummel. Bobby, you did a great job. Thanks, man.
Thanks.
We appreciate all the work you did this year. Have a great year at DePaul.
Thank you.
We'll be back at it tomorrow at 2 without Bobby.
Yes.